We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected.
Oh, hello there. I'm just, as you can see, enjoying some of our lovely Northern Irish summer weather. I'm working very hard, as you can see. But maybe some of you are a bit tired and bored of the summer and want something to do. If that's true, we've got some very exciting news for you. We've got our Holiday Bible Club coming up on the 10th to the 14th of August. It's going to involve lots of fun things. It's going to have a major science theme with some experiments. And there'll also be lots of the things you'll be used to. Memory verses, quizzes, crafts, all sorts of exciting things. The Holiday Bible Club will be hosted by the Cathedral and by Christ Church in Lisburn on Zoom on the computer. And there'll be a session at 10 a.m. and at 6:30 p.m. And at the 6:30 p.m. one, there'll be a special Zoom room for Derry Volgey, and all your favourite Sunday school leaders will be with you there. Now, if you want to get registered for that, you just get your parents to go on to our Facebook page, our website, and they'll find a link there on how to get you registered. We really hope you can all join us. See you soon.
A very warm welcome this morning to St. Columba's Derry Volgey. Whether you've been worshipping with us for a while or if this is your first Sunday, we're glad that you have decided to join us to worship the one who is risen, alive and at work among us. So as we come before the feet of God, let us just still our hearts. Our appointed psalm for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is Psalm 105, beginning at verse 1. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for thousands of generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. It's usually at this point within our service that we ask the children to come up and to share something with them. So kids, if you're at home, this is for you. I want to ask you a question. What makes you happy? Maybe it's McDonald's, maybe it's going to watch a movie or playing games or hanging out with your friends. And I want you to think about this song. You've probably sung the song before. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And it goes like this. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will truly show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I'll spare you from me singing it to you. But I wonder how the song would go if it was with a bunch of birds. Maybe it would be, if you're happy and you know it, flap your wings. What about if you were a dog? If you're happy and you know it, wag your tail. Then your tail will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, wag your tail. I heard this story about this little puppy that noticed that he was happy. His tail wagged, so he thought he had found the secret to happiness. And one day he shared this with one of his other dog friends. And he said, I have learned the best thing for a dog is happiness, and that happiness is in my tail. So I'm going to chase my tail, and when I catch it, then I'll have happiness. And the older dog replied, I too believe that happiness is a marvellous thing for a dog, and that happiness is in my tail. But I have noticed that when I chase it, my tail keeps running away from me. But when I go about my business, it follows me wherever I go. We all want to be happy, don't we? Does it surprise you to know that God wants you to be happy as well? We all want to be happy. Does it surprise you to know that God wants you to be happy as well? Well, he does. But you might be surprised to find out that what Jesus said about happiness is a little bit different to what we might expect. Most of us think that to be happy means having lots of money or having lots to eat or having lots of friends and being well liked by everyone. But this isn't what Jesus said. And one day Jesus went up to the side of a mountain. And he sat down and gathered his disciples around him, and he began to teach them about happiness. Now, even though these aren't the exact words that he used, he said something like this. He said things like, be happy when you are poor in spirit, because you will find that your riches are in the kingdom of heaven. Be happy when you feel a little lost about what is most important to you, because it is then that you will feel the love of the one who is most important to you. Be happy with what you have, because then you will find that your Heavenly Father provides everything that you will ever need. Be happy when you are hungry and your belly is rumbling for the things of God, because then you will find that only He can satisfy our hunger. Be happy when you are looking after and caring for others, because it is caring for others that you will find a Heavenly Father that cares for you. Be happy when your heart is right with God, because it is then that you will see that God is at work within the world around you. Be happy when you help others to get along peacefully with one another, because it is then that you will know that peace comes from being a part of the family of God. Be happy when others treat you badly, because you follow me, because your reward will be great in heaven. You see, happiness is not a feeling that is brought about by the things that happen to us. It is an attitude that we have because God is in our heart. So what I want you to do today is I want you to look up in your Bibles this verse, and it is Matthew 5 verse 1 to 11. And that tells us all these things that Jesus has been talking about that makes us happy. And it's in this word called the Beatitudes. So what I want you to do is I want you to go and sit at home and have a look at Matthew 5 verse 1 to 11 for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the gift of happiness. Lord, even though happiness in the Bible isn't quite what we expected, Lord, we pray that you would help us to adopt all that you say in this verse in Matthew 5. So as we go throughout our day, we pray that you would give us the spirit of happiness, whatever we may be doing. In Jesus' name, amen. As broken people, we come before a God who is perfect to seek his forgiveness for the wrong that we have done, for what we have left undone, for thoughts we've had or the actions we should have taken. Lord God, we've sinned against you. We've done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and retire us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to us your people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning we continue our sermon series on living hope in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8.
1 Peter chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
The 26th of April 1986 is an incredible date in the minds of millions of people around the world. The explosion that destroyed reactor number 4 at the Chernobyl nuclear plant in the former Soviet Union changed people's perception of nuclear power forever, making them question its safety. Controversy regarding the death toll and the environmental consequences is still an ongoing debate. And parts of the Ukraine and the exclusion zone will be suffering the effects of the disaster for at least the next 24,000 years. People left their houses, family members and personal belongings. You've perhaps heard the story in the news about a lady named Ludmila Itvanchenko, the pregnant wife of firefighter Vasily, who helped tackle the blaze. Ludmila begged Vasily's doctors to let her see her husband without knowing the full extent of the radiation. She visited her husband's bedside. He died 14 days later. And two months later, Ludmila gave birth to a baby girl, who died 4 hours after birth from congenital heart malformations and cirrhosis of the liver, both of which have been linked to radiation exposure. The event of one night changed many people's lives forever. It can be discomforting all of a sudden to feel as if you've lost your way. You're no longer sure how you got there or even what normal is anymore. Similarly, Peter provides his readers with this sense of discomfort within this passage. And we know that Peter has previously been crystal clear as to what we are to do. He's written about good deeds, talked about our conduct, revealed God's new community as being known for submission. But then in chapter 3, verse 8, something new begins to happen. A shift takes place. Peter wanted our reading to slow, our eyes to be transfixed on his words. It first appears that Peter has closed all his thoughts on submission, and now all he can think is about suffering. And in verse 8 to 9, he provides something that is so contrary to our culture and society. If someone is mean to us, our human instinct isn't to go and bless them or to bless that person or what they've done to us. Our human instinct tells us that it's tit for tat, repay evil for evil. But Paul urges us that we must repay evil with blessing because we are called children of God. Maybe you have a sat nav in your car, and maybe you've been travelling along and it's given you the wrong direction. And I want to tell you a story of one day I was travelling to Mullyle, and I didn't know where I was going. I was trying to get to this particular coffee shop, and I had it in the sat nav, and I had three friends and my dog in the car. Now, I'm okay at driving, but when it comes to directions, I'm not so great. So I always rely on the sat nav. And I was going down this road, and I have no perception of how far things are away. And the sat nav all of a sudden said, turn left. So without indicating, I turned left quite abruptly. And my dog flew into the front windscreen and hit her head on the front windscreen. And we got a little bit lost that day, not sure where we were going. Commentators disagree on this passage, but they all agree on one thing. They felt a bit lost when reading it. They weren't clear about where Peter was going. And on the 2nd of July 2020, it was announced that Liverpool had won the Premier League. And when this happened, Gary Neville, a former Man United player, said this about Jurgen Klopp as a leader. He said, Jurgen Klopp turned players that are worth £30 million into players who are worth £130 million. Players who are worth £75 million into players worth £150 million. This is an incredible achievement. Neville was pointing out that although Liverpool won due to the success of their players on the pitch, behind their players there was always a leader, in this case Jurgen Klopp, who was behind the scenes encouraging his team that despite losses and disappointments that they had the potential to keep going. Likewise, Peter proves himself to be a good leader, a good coach. He's just finished talking about some heavy stuff that he knows has been really difficult for his initial readership to understand and implement. So he goes about this passage and he wants to encourage them to keep going with this difficult task of gracious living. It's as if the people of God are on this racing track and Peter is at the sidelines with banners and he's cheering them on to keep going, to persevere. But how does he do this? Well, Peter has this great literary skill and he comes up with a phrase that he knows will encourage, it will motivate and stir within them energy to keep going. And this is in verse 9, when Peter says, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because this is what you are called to do. We are called to be a blessing. Peter claims that the key to living graciously, to securing hope, is to be reminded of the calling on each of our lives, to be a blessing. Surprisingly, Peter's thoughts isn't that we are called to bless God, like he refers to in chapter 1, but rather that we are to bless the unbeliever, we're to bless the challenging work colleague, bless the abuser, bless those in authority even when they get it wrong. Peter says a Christian community is a community that blesses not just God or one another, but everyone around them, near and far. There's this story of blessing, and it goes like this. I asked God to take away my habit. God said, no, it isn't for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said, no, his spirit is whole, his body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, no, patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It isn't granted, it is learned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, no, I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said, no suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you and make you fruitful. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me bless others when I find it difficult. And God said, finally, you have the idea. You'll be glad to know that Peter goes on to say in verse 9 that if we live in this way of blessing others, that we ourselves will be rewarded. Now surely that's encouragement that when we bless, we ourselves will receive a blessing. And this blessing will sometimes come from God, but sometimes God will appoint other people to bless us. And can there be any higher motivation for us to bless others than to obtain a blessing from God himself? In this passage, we see that Peter hasn't forgotten about Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. So if you have your Bibles, I would love you to turn to Matthew 5 with me, beginning at verse 3. So that's Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger for thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven. Words have a powerful effect on the human mind. When I was in school, there was an anti-bullying project, and it had the slogan, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." You've maybe heard it before. Words can heal and words can hurt. Words spoken to us can stay with us a long time. Perhaps we remember the last words spoken by a family member before they died. It's clear that words have a massive impact on us. Imagine for a moment, though, if the words from our blessing led someone to the feet of Christ, led someone's faith in the living God to be restored. Imagine hearing in heaven those who have come to Christ through your blessing, through your actions and your words spoken to them. From verse 10, Peter uses the words of Psalm 34 to appeal to his readers to be encouraged. But in order to understand why he does this and the depth of this, we need to know the context in which this psalm was originally written. So if you want, you can turn to Psalm 34 in your Bibles. It should have the heading of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and left. And to the modern day reader, this makes absolutely no sense. But the psalm was written whenever David was under great stress. It was during the season in his life where, although he had been anointed by Samuel as the king, he was forced into hiding from Saul. Saul had become unjust ruler of the people who persecuted David. David, elected by God, was forced to suffer on earth as an exile. Yet Psalm 34 begins, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." What an incredible line. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Like David, perhaps our lives have been under stress with the change in daily life and living, with spending more time cooped up at home with family members, homeschooling, working from home, sourcing food, and many other things that occupy our minds. But I question, have you ever stopped in the midst of it all to bless other people and God? I know I haven't. I know I haven't. It's usually, "Please God, do this," rather than, "Lord, despite what I'm going through, I will bless you." David submitted himself to God's timing and continued to bless God and Saul as he experienced difficult times. For Peter, David proves the point that he has been making to his readers on submission, suffering, and blessing. This real-life story of a man who gave his life to submission. Peter's earlier readers were troubled by Peter's call to submit, and in David's obedient nature, he found Christ in the midst of his great sufferings. And we have the proof in the Bible that God rewarded David when he blessed others. All of this should encourage us. Be encouraged to bless. It's a matter of calling. When we place Psalm 34 and 1 Peter 3 together, there are two main words that strike the reader: fear and blessing. Peter used these words and referenced David in order to alert his readers that it is possible to continue in submission. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word fear. Maybe it's spiders, maybe it's your mother-in-law, maybe it's the classic wooden spoon, or perhaps like me, it's mice and rats. A story is told of two gas servicemen who were out and about checking meters within a neighbourhood, and they parked their truck at the end of the road and walked their way to the other end assessing each house. And at the last house, the woman was looking out her kitchen window and she was watching these two men check the gas meter. And when she'd finished checking the meter, the senior supervisor challenged his younger co-worker to a foot race down the road back to the truck. And whoever got there first didn't have to buy lunch. So the men came running back to the truck, and as they were running, they realised that the lady from the last house was huffing and puffing behind them. They stopped immediately and asked her what was wrong. And gasping for breath, she replied, "When I see two gas men running as hard as you two were, I figured I better run too." This lady was afraid. She was fearful that something was happening. In 1 Peter, believers are told to have a rightful fear of God without having an unhealthy fear of those who rule in society. We see this in verse 14, where it reads, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." Peter is showing his readers that a proper fear of God will result in a proper respect for human authority. Parallel to Psalm 34, David uses the term proper fear. The one who fears God will be delivered from their own fears. And then we come to the word blessing. And we've already said much about this word blessing. But at the start of 1 Peter, in verse 3, Peter chooses to open his letter with this: "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This word bless is so important for people who need the encouragement to press on. The message today is bless God and others. It is the divine key that unlocks our ability to remain steadfast and joyfully submissive. So I just don't want you to hear these words today. I want you to go and have a look at this passage again now that we understand a little bit more about it. But I want there to be some action. I want to challenge you today. I want you to go and bless someone. Maybe that's someone who has made your life a little bit difficult. Or maybe it's a lonely neighbour. Whether that is writing them a letter or actually going and seeing them or having a phone call, I want you to go and I want you to bless someone. Not because we read about it here, but because Peter says it's a matter of calling. Because we are called to do this, we will inherit a blessing. So let's, each of us, me included, let's go and bless someone today. Let us pray. Father God, we bless you that you are alive and at work within our lives. Father, we thank you for your word and all that you reveal to us through it. And Father, as we go into this challenge to bless others, We pray knowing that your Holy Spirit goes with us and before us. Lord, we may find it difficult, but we pray that you would remind us that it is a matter of calling, that you have called us to bless others. Father God, we pray for all of those who are sick and ill, whether at home or in hospital. We pray that according to your will, that they would know you as their healer, God, their restorer. Lord, we pray for all of those who are working as key workers and those especially who have started back to work. Lord, we pray knowing that you go before them each and every day. And we pray for each of them. Lord, we pray that as they awake in the morning, that they would be awakened to your presence with them, going with them throughout their whole day. Lord, we pray for all those who have loved and have lost family members, close friends. Lord, we pray that they would know you as a God of comfort. Lord, that they would know that you are near and not far off, that you will dry every tear. Lord God, we thank you for this new day. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And as we go through this day, whatever it entails, we pray that through our actions and through our words, that your light would shine brightly, that we would be your hands and your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. A collect for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase us in true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we end our service, I want to thank you for joining us this week, and I pray that you will be blessed and go and bless others as we finish our service. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. The Almighty and merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. Amen.